Well, the book of Leviticus chapter 14, and there's a wonderful phrase in verse 7. Leviticus 14 verse 7, he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean. And shall pronounce him clean. Wonderful phrase. Let us look to the Lord in prayer, please. Father in heaven, as we turn to consider this subject this evening, we pray, Lord, that it would see how up to date it is, how applicable it is to our day and generation, and indeed to our own persons. Do make the word of God live, we pray. It's thy word. We're told it's profitable to us. And we thank thee that all the scripture reveals the Saviour. So show us the Saviour tonight, we pray. In Christ's name and for his honour would ask it. Amen. To be honest, the book of Leviticus, to many people's view, is one of the most boring books in the Bible. How many have started to read Genesis, tough enough, Exodus? Well, there are stories there about biographies and miracles and exciting events. And then you get to the book of Leviticus and it seems to contain just a meticulous and often what seems tedious list of rules and regulations, and some of them a bit confusing to us today. And it's usually not a book that a young Christian should read first, or someone not interested in Bible study. And indeed, it's interesting that some authorities say that in the synagogue years ago, this was the first book of the Bible that Jewish boys and girls were taught. Not interesting. I think we could say in most churches today it would probably be the last. But it's God's word. It's God's word. And there's a great reward in studying it. And as you study it, you'll see it's a blessed book. And it has great relevance today. And we need to properly understand it. You'll find it's a thrilling book with a wonderful, tremendous message. And the Lord Jesus Christ is seen in this book in a mighty way. In the offerings, in the Day of Atonement, here in this incident about the leper, about the ordination of the priest. Christ is right through this book. It's often quoted in the New Testament. And for instance, a verse in Leviticus 19 and 18 is quoted, I think it's about 12 times in the New Testament. A verse that talks about loving your neighbor and seek not vengeance. You've heard that before? I mean, that's Old Testament. And so Leviticus 19 and 18 is quoted many, many times. So the Lord Jesus Christ knew the book. And he knew the book of Leviticus when he quoted from it often. Well, we've looked at incidents about the lepers being healed, but I want to turn to this chapter, or two chapters. Now, some years ago we looked at briefly the ceremony of the birds and the cleansing, but think about leprosy. Now, the whole book of Leviticus has this theme, holiness, holiness. Now, it has to do with ceremonial holiness. The Jewish rituals that God, of course, ordained and various things would make you ceremonially unclean. And there were rituals to go through that would make you clean again, ceremonially, before the law. Ceremonially unclean, you couldn't go into the temple, you couldn't go into the synagogue, and so on. Touching a dead body was one, and there are various other things, rules and regulations. But they are illustrations, types of real spiritual uncleanness and the need for real spiritual holiness before Almighty God. And so God in the book of Leviticus, with all these what seem to us long rules and regulations and ceremonies, was teaching the need for holiness before God and for us to recognize our state. And when you come to leprosy, leprosy is an amazing picture of sin. We'll see that. And I'm sure you all knew that to start with, but I'm underlining it. Leprosy is a type of our uncleanness. We know that blindness is a picture of the blindness of a soul that's not saved. We know that the paralyzed man who Christ healed, that's a symbol, an illustration of how we're unable to do anything to save ourselves. But leprosy is an illustration of our sinfulness, of our uncleanness before God, of how corrupt we are before God. And of course, sin
is illustrated by leprosy in its nauseating, sickening, corrupt appearance before a holy God. See, today, fools make a mock of sin. Sin is just something laughed at. Sin is serious. Sin is uncleanness. We don't have time to go to it, but if you read Isaiah chapter 1, while it doesn't say leprosy, I often think of it as a picture of leprosy, because Isaiah, when he started to address the nation, you know what he said? From the top of your head to the sole of your foot, you're full of putrefying sores. And they can't be stopped. They can't be bound up. And that was one of the symptoms of leprosy. And surely Isaiah was saying of the nation, you're corrupt. And in Isaiah 1 he describes the awful sins of the nation. And surely, well, it's not our subject tonight, we have to say it describes the modern Western world. United Kingdom, Southern Ireland, America. The awful corruption that's come in, even in decades in my lifetime. It's like the stench of leprosy in the nostrils of God. And yet, people just laugh about it. Society laughs about it. Those in leadership laugh about it. Mock Christians who go to church. Mock those who believe the Bible. Mock those who don't believe in evolution. Mock those who take a stand on moral issues. You're looked upon as some type of dinosaur, some type of headcase. But Isaiah the prophet said that's what the nation's like. A leprous sore. Sin is no laughing matter. There's three things I want to say about leprosy from this passage, and chapter 13 is a long chapter. First of all, if you read through it later at your leisure, as I say, there's a long chapter, you'll find the first whole section of the chapter has to do with the careful detection of leprosy. You see, there were some skin diseases, rashes, that were not leprosy. So if a man or woman discovered a certain rash on their hand and they began to think, is this leprosy or is it just some type of other skin disease, they would go to the priest. The priest, in a sense, was a type of a medical practitioner, because he would look at that, and then you'll read in the earlier verses how sometimes the person was sent away for a week. They'd come back again and the priest would look at that skin rash again. Whether it's on the arm, the leg, the head, and so on. He would look again and he'd say, no, it's not leprosy. It's not leprosy. And you know what's interesting here? It's not leprosy. Because over and over again, you will read in the earlier verses of the Bible that the priest, for instance, verse 34, I just have that one underlined. You see the middle of verse 34, towards the end? It's not spread in the skin. It's no deeper than the skin. Then the priest shall pronounce him clean. So this is like a doctor. And you've had the test. We all know what medical tests are like. They're sent away. My wife spoke to her just before, on the way to the service. She says, with her aunt waiting while the blood test comes back. She's had the scan and so on to see if everything's broken. And when she fell. Now the blood test. And you know the blood test come back. Oh, you're clear. You're all right. Well, that's what the priest was doing. There were skin diseases that were not leprous. But, and this is an amazing phrase. Look at chapter 13, the end of verse 3. He would look at other individuals, look at the skin, and pronounce him unclean. Do you see that? Chapter 13, verse 3. This is a Bible study tonight. Chapter 13. The priest shall say, you are unclean. You do have leprosy. And leprosy was a horrible disease, a frightening disease, a contagious disease. You have it. Now, you obviously, time tonight, I have them written down here. Verse 8. Verse 11, verse 20, verse 22, verse 25, verse 27, verse 30. You'll read them when you go home, underline them. Pronounce them unclean. Over and over and over again. The careful detection. You see, the priest symbolizes the law. As a priest was not only to offer sacrifices, he was to teach the law, teach the Ten Commandments and the rules of the statutes from it. I think of a man called the Apostle Paul, a very devout Jew, a very religious man. And you know, when he looked at himself, I'm clean. I have no disease. Thinking, of course, of the disease of sin, leprosy, been a picture of sin. He looked at himself, his outward life, his prayers, his fastings, his alms that he gave to the synagogue. And he said to himself, I'm fine. I'm not a sinner like those Gentiles. He actually wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, before the law I was blameless. What he meant there was, there's nobody could look at Paul's life and say, you're an awful sinner. Now, there are people committed outward sins, and people would say, they're sinners. They're sinners. Look at how they sin in their moral life. Paul was upright morally. But you know what happened? The law. Remember, a priest is associated with the law of God. He says in the book of Romans, the law. The law came. And when I read the Ten Commandments, although I was looked all right on the outside and it looked as if I was clean, as I looked at my life, the law slew me. He actually uses an expression that means the law killed me. Because the law showed me, Paul wrote, that I'm covetous. What was happening? The test was showing up. The test was showing up. The leprosy of sin was in Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. He had to admit it. Had to admit it. And of course, there will be many today will say, well, I'm as good as the person down the street, and I'm as good as these born again people that claim to be. I'm as good as they are. I'm not a bad sinner. I don't murder. Oh, listen, there has to be the careful detection of sin. And the priest would teach the law. What I'm saying is, the Holy Spirit uses the law. And when the law comes, like an x-ray, if you like the MRI scan, like the blood test, do you know how it comes back? Unclean. And you look at one of the verses we read in verse 44 of chapter 13, and this says it differently than earlier. The priest shall pronounce him, verse 44, utterly unclean. The plague is in his head. Not just unclean, but utterly unclean. So there's the careful detection of the plague. All guilty. All guilty. I remember, I have told you this before, when the second son was called up in the TA to go to Iraq. First of all, to Kuwait, thinking those chemical weapons and so on. When they went over to England, 60 of them from Northern Ireland were called up. And they went over and they got all their tests. They got all free dental work done, because they weren't going to send you to the desert if you had any teeth problems. That was one of the perks. Not too many perks, by the way. But they all had blood tests. And one of my son's colleagues, just 18, doctors brought him in. He can't go. Why not? We've discovered leukemia in your blood. Within a year, that young lad had died. He didn't know about it. Didn't know. But the test showed it up. Oh, how many people are there in Newton Ards? I'm sure there's no one here like this tonight. But how many in Newton Ards are sitting thinking, I'm religious, I'm good enough. I'm not unclean before God. Now, God's fortunate to have somebody like me. Now, they mightn't say it as bluntly as that, but that's the way they think about it. Not like the Pharisee in the New Testament. I fast, I do this. I'm not like those. The test, the careful detection. But now in chapter 13, the latter part, you have the corrupting disease of leprosy. You have that in the verses I read, verse 44 and then verse 45. The plague is in the person. Just to go through it very quickly for time. You know, earlier in the chapter, you'll find it begins with a white spot. Just a spot. It seems so insignificant, so small. But then what happens with that white spot? It begins to grow, and then it forms into a lesion, and then the lesion, we'd say, subturates, and then there comes that oozing, not too pleasant to think about, oozing pus out of a sore. And as those sores begin to spread through the body, and the sores are in the hands, the feet, and all over the body, his voice begins to get hoarse. His face begins to change, to be look like wrinkles on a lion. Sometimes lepers were called lion-faced. And of course, through insensitivity at the nerves, things can happen to the body. And they become insensitive. What an awful, awful disease. an awful disease. They become insensitive to the corruption of the leper. Look at verse 45 and 46. It says, the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. When the leper would come before the priest and the priest would do the careful detection, he would tear his clothes. What's that about? That's a custom in the Old Testament when there was deep grief, deep mourning, deep sorrow. Some people did it at the time of bereavement. They would rip their clothes. Or you'll read of certain men doing it at times of national disaster. Rent their clothes. In other words, the man or woman who's diagnosed a leper, oh, there's no hope for me. That's like a sinner under conviction, isn't it? I'm hopeless. Rent their clothes. And then there's another expression here I need to just underline quickly. Shall be rent and his head bare. Oh, we could spend time getting into that, but just in a couple of sentences. You see, in the Old Testament, to a man to take off his hat was a sign of shame or submission. In fact, the high priest, even if a relative died, it says over in chapter 10, I think it's around about verse 18, but certainly chapter 10, it says he is not to bare his head, to keep his head covered. In other words, it's a sign of humility, of just verse 6 of Leviticus 10. Uncover not your heads. So here's this man. He's in deep grief. He's in deep sorrow. He's humble now, but he can do nothing about himself. And then it goes on to talk about the garment and so on. Oh, this awful, awful disease of sin. We could go on speaking about it. There's books about it that'll tell you about what leprosy was and the effects of it and the awful disease, the stench of leprosy. Everything he touched was contaminated. In fact, it says that devout Jewish religious leaders, if they thought there was a leper down the street, they wouldn't walk down that street again. They felt even the atmosphere would be contaminated. If a leper had sat upon a seat or even a rock out in the roadside, nobody would go and sit there. You wouldn't associate. Afraid the disease would spread. The contaminating nature. Oh, the awful corruption of this disease. It was a terrible disease. And of course the man or woman was away from the synagogue. They couldn't go and worship with other people. They couldn't live with other people. They were separated from their family, from their friends. They could only live with other lepers. They're cut off. You see, sin separates. Sin contaminates. Sin, of course, leads to death. Experts, while this isn't in the Bible, said someone who had the disease is classed as leprosy, 9 years at the most, and it was a dying, dying disease. In fact, sometimes they referred to lepers as the walking dead. The walking dead. What a terrible, corrupting disease. But thank God, chapter 14. Chapter 14. What do we have in this chapter? And this is the wonderful, wonderful truth now here in chapter 14. And so wonderful, wonderful truth. Wonderful truth in chapter 14. Well, how does it start off? The cleansing day. The cleansing day. Where do I get that from? Verse 2. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. You see, we've got the careful detection. We've got the corrupting disease. But thank God, here you've got the cleansing day. The cleansing day. The Lord spoke to Moses. The day of his cleansing. Now, you know what it's talking about in verse 1? And this is very important to note. These ceremonies that are about to take place did not cure the man of his leprosy. That's very important. It was the day when he already had been cleansed or healed or cured that the priest became involved. Don't read chapter 14 and think, oh, this is how a leprous man is cured. It's not what it's teaching at all. It's not teaching that. It's not saying that. And that's very important to note. Very important to note. This is what happened in the ceremony when a leper was healed. in the day that he was healed. There's a ceremonial cleansing took place. It's a ceremony to pronounce him clean. That's the difference. The ceremony didn't make him clean or didn't cure the leprosy, drive it away. That's very, very important to note. Because all these rites about the two birds and so on, the sprinkling of the blood, it is not some magical formula that brought cleansing. It's ceremonial. You see, history says nations round about, and to this day in some places, there are people that think in their paganism and sadly in so-called modern-day Northern Ireland, there are people that think going through certain ceremonies and rituals can take away sin, or thinking back to sickness can take away sickness. That's not what the chapter's talking about. God never told Israel to do that. The priest had no power to make the leper whole. The priest had no power to take away the disease of leprosy. Oh yes, he was God's man to deal with the ceremonial uncleanness in the ceremony he was instructed to do. But he never took away the disease of leprosy. Only God could do that. Only God can cleanse. Only God can heal. You see, there are people even in our land think that if they go through a certain ceremony, they'll get medical help. There's some people think that if you just get the minister to pray or a priest to pray, then you'll suddenly be miraculously healed. If you go down, and I've used this often talking about Luther, go down to St. Patrick's Well, just outside Ocker, on the way, just outside Auchnacloy on the road to Ocker. It's near Auchnacloy, right on the border. Go into St. Patrick's Well, it's signposted. The government or council have built the little pathway in. And if you go there, it's a few years since I was there, but preaching in the Moor, a man came up and said it's still like that. You will go in and you'll see, supposedly, where Patrick sat on a rock. Of course, you believe that, you believe anything. And there's a little stream, a spring, and they call it St. Patrick's Well. And then you look at a tree, I think it's a blackthorn tree, and it's covered with bandages that have been taken off people with sores and hankies and paper hankies. It's just like a dump has exploded on the tree. And you know, there are people in 2017 walk in there and pray to St. Patrick and think, if we hang a piece of a bandage of our sick relative upon this tree, they'll get better. If you didn't think there's people believe that nonsense. Of course, that's where you get popery. When you always get popery, you get superstition. That's shocking. Or an Armagh told you about years ago, about 10 years ago, when people were praying when a hearse went by with a leg bone of St. Therese. Now, don't think of Leviticus 14 as anything like that at all. It's nothing similar. I'm trying to point out here that what it's teaching is when the man was cured, and only God can cure the disease of leprosy. And you know what's the wonderful truth there? You don't read of many people in the Bible being cleansed from leprosy in the sense of the disease going. I know Naaman through Elisha, God's prophet, yes. But when you come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ could say to the leper, "Be thou clean," and touch the leper. You know what it tells me? Jesus Christ is God. Because only God can do that. So what's this chapter about then? Just to make sure you're following me. What this chapter's about? It's the ceremonial. You see, a leper was ceremonially unclean before the law. He couldn't be with his family. He couldn't go to worship God. He was looked upon as unclean. Remember, the Bible says, "Not that defiled shall enter in." Leviticus 13 says he's defiled. But here's a leper. He wakens up. It's gone. The disease is gone. How did this happen? Now, we're not given records of this actually happening. But chapter 14 saying this is what would have happened. If someone woke up one day and the leprosy's gone, they couldn't just go back in to worship in the temple. No, they had to go to the priest because it was the priest who had declared them unclean. And so what's taking place here is a ceremony that is wrought upon the person who has been healed of the disease. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing of what happens here. Wonderful, wonderful thing. Look, he's brought to the priest. Isn't that great? Just very quickly, and then verse 4. Then shall the priest command to take for him But sorry, just back up a minute in verse 3, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. Why is that? Because the leper was living outside the camp. He wasn't allowed in. He wasn't allowed near the temple. Or in the time of the wilderness wanderings, near the tabernacle. He's outside. The priest went to where the leper was. Oh, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, came to where we were. And he suffered outside the camp. We couldn't go to him. But he came to us. Isn't that a wonderful truth? He came to where we sinful lepers were. What did he do in verse 4, the priest? He commanded to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And one of the birds in verse 5 was killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And for the living bird he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And then he let the bird go. The living bird went. End of verse 7. Let the living bird loose. What's it all about? It's quite clear. There's no ambiguity about it. Remember, we're saying leprosy is a symbol of sin. And sin makes us unclean before God. How can I be pronounced clean? Well, 2 birds. One is slain. Its blood dies. That's the crucifixion of our Saviour. The other bird, oh, it's dipped in the blood and the water. It's released. My, is that man who had been cured of his leprosy, he saw it. There's the blood. It's sprinkling from the bird as it flies up into the heaven. What's that a picture of? The resurrection and ascension of our Saviour. How can I be clean before God? How can I know that I am, and think of this term again, pronounced. It's over and over again. Pronounced, pronounced, pronounced. Read it. Underline it as you go through the 2 chapters. Pronounced, pronounced. How can I be, who's unclean, be pronounced clean before a holy God? Only through the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth here. The blood had to be shed. The blood had to be shed. That's a great truth. But the blood had to be applied to the man. He shall sprinkle, verse 7, he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. Now note this, and shall pronounce him clean. 7 is the number of perfection. So 7 times the blood is taken and sprinkled on him. And then the priest says, I pronounce you clean. What's that a symbol? You know what God is teaching us? When we're saved, we're justified. Didn't we spend time in Romans some time ago going through what justification means? To be declared, pronounced righteous because of the righteousness of Christ. And the priest declares openly, this man, this woman is pronounced clean. You know what salvation is? We know of ourselves we're sinners. But by the miracle of saving grace, the blood of Christ is applied. And although all of us born into this world are born with the plague of sin, the plague of plagues, yet through the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, those that trust in him, the blood, the virtue of Christ's sacrifice is applied to us. And underline those words in verse 7, pronounce him clean from the defilement of his leprosy. Oh, there's nothing else can take away the guilt of sin. I know a fount where sins are washed away. We have to be pronounced clean to be in heaven. Because naught that defileth can enter into heaven. Naught that defileth. We need to be pronounced clean to be there in glory. And now we can understand what the Lord meant in Matthew 8. Remember, a leper came and he worshipped Christ and he cried out. He cried out to the Lord to be healed. Cried out, if thou wilt. The leper didn't cry, if you can. Because he believed Christ was God and was able. What faith that leper had. But if thou wilt. Lord, if you choose to cure me, you can. Do you believe that tonight if you're not saved? Christ can cure you. And the Lord turned to that leper. Well, he touched him actually. Touched him and then he says, go thy way. I'm thinking of Matthew 8 verse 4. Go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That's Leviticus 14. Now he was already healed. But the Savior said to him, go your way and go through the ritual of Leviticus 14, because the priest in the temple was still standing then. He was already healed. But that was a declaration, a pronouncement that you're clean. Do you know anything about this? That God has declared that you are absolutely clean. I would have loved to be there. Can you imagine that priest's house? See, he didn't go right to the temple. You see, priests lived throughout Israel. You knew that, 50 different cities. So that priest would have went to the nearest city where a priest was, and you imagine him coming. What do you want? Well, I want to be declared clean. What? What are you talking about? I was a leper. What? Get away. Oh, but look, I'm clean. There's a miracle taking place. But you're a priest, and I want you to go through the ceremony and declare me to be clean. Don't think the priest ever had done that before. Thank God we can be declared clean. I think of the story. I know I've told it before, but maybe quite a few years ago. Brownlow North, wonderful preacher, used in the 59 revival. Now, I'm trying to rack my memory. He was either, I think it's a grandson or a nephew of Lord North. Maybe not one of Lord North was, but he was a Prime Minister of England at one time. Prime Minister, Lord Mayor. He was in royalty, nobility. Very famous family Brownlow North was from. Lived a wicked life in his early years, but came to know Christ as his Saviour. And the famous story is told on one occasion, he tells it himself in one of his books. He walked into a building where he's going to preach the gospel, and a stranger handed him a letter. He said, Mr. North, it's very important that you read this letter before you preach. He thought it might be a prayer request that someone wanted to mention. So while he was getting ready to speak, he opened the letter. You know what it was? I knew you. And I saw you doing this and this and this. And I know the immoral things you got up to. Now I dare you to preach tonight. Because I'm in the meeting. And I know the things that you did. And I dare you to preach. Brownlow North was well known. And he got up and he said, I've received a letter. And I'm going to read it to you. And he read the list. And he said, you know, men and women, there are things that I have done that I'm ashamed of that writer knows nothing about. They're not on the list. And the writer has asked here, how dare you, being conscious of the truth of all the above, pray and speak to people this evening when you're such a vile sinner? And he said, the writer is speaking the truth, has written the truth. But my only reason to stand here tonight is this. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And I'm here to tell men and women how they can come to Christ and receive the cleansing of the blood of Christ. Thank God we can be declared clean. The leper was pronounced clean from the defilement. It's a wonderful thing to know that before God in heaven, God sees you as absolutely clean, with not even a little white spot of leprosy. You're clean because of Christ.